I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic. I'm super nervous. But my friend Ann gave me this great journal on my third year birthday, and it says, "Let your faith be bigger than your fear." And I've just been looking at that all week, and I'm like, that's what, you know, I'm just here to tell my story, whether it's funny or good or whatever it is. Maybe at least one person could get something out of it. So I'm just going to start reading to kind of get a little grounded here. My favorite page from the big book that always helps me.
If I can get to it.
Okay. Well, seriously. Okay. And this is from page 417 from Acceptance Was the Answer. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing or situation, some fact in my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." He forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation, and I was always glad to point it out, because I knew you wanted perfection just as I did. AA and acceptance have taught me that there is a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, that we are all children of God and we have a right to be here. When I complain about me or about you, I am complaining about God's handiwork. I am saying that I know better than God. And that, just that section for me, when I read that, I just felt like that was the key to it all for me. Okay. So my sobriety date is December 26, 2012. And I came here to the Breakfast Club, like Karen said, and this has been my home group ever since, and it's so great to look around and just see so many faces of people that were here that first day that I came in. I remember Christy coming right up to me, asking if I was new and giving me a schedule, and just so many other people that are still here. I used to call them my peeps because I knew I would be, like, okay when I got here if I saw at least one of those familiar faces. Just a little bit story of my background. I was born in Sarasota, Florida in 1972. My mom was, her and my mom's side of the family, they came to Florida in 1958 from Cuba, like right before Castro took over. So it was a kind of interesting dynamic there. My family was like very protective and like a unit. Like we didn't have a lot of like family friends or things like that. My dad, I don't know much about. He fought in the Vietnam War, alcoholic, drugs. They were married probably for about 2 years. And she was pregnant when they got married. And they got divorced, and I obviously don't remember much from that, but it didn't go well. He was having an affair, and you know, he was just being not a good husband. And so when they divorced, we just separated from them, from him and his side of the family. They all lived in Sarasota still, but they were never part of my life or anything. And he ended up moving, to California. But, I mean, it just, like, no child support, nothing. Like, he literally was just, these people were just removed. Which was crazy for me, like, when I would look back at, like, pictures at birthday parties, there were these people there, and I'm like, how the hell did they, like, I'm like a little two-year-old baby, you know, I was like, I just didn't understand how that happened, like, that people were just gone. And I think that caused a lot of a resentment toward my mom. I wasn't sure if she made that happen or he made that happen or if she made that decision for me. So that kind of caused a lot of resentment later on. And then, so they got divorced, and we ended up moving in with my grandparents, who are wonderful, were wonderful to me. They took care of me. They took care of my mom. And pretty much stayed there until she met, and I'm going to say my dad's names because I have like three of them, so that way when I say them, you'll know which one it is. Okay, so my real dad is Lee. And so then when I was about six, my mom met David, who is, I consider, when I say my dad, that's my dad. And he's also an alcoholic. And my mom doesn't barely drink. So this is kind of, I'm not really sure what, maybe she's, I don't know. All these drinkers around her. I'm like, you need to go to Al-Anon because I think you would be like the president of the Al-Anon. So she marries him. He's a good man. He is a good man. He, except for the drinking, I mean, he takes care of me. He treats me as his own. He still does today. Adopted me. I took his name when I was 10. He would take care of me at night when my mom worked. A very good man, just a very, drank a lot, a lot. So, it's okay though, it's not, I get a little scared when he drinks, but it's not anything abusive or anything like that. So then my mom gets pregnant, I'm 12, and has my sister Allison, and that kind of starts the downhill for them. She's gets postpartum, he's drinking more, so that kind of starts a back and forth, just kind of a, oh, but before that happened, I was like 13 or 14, and I have my first drink, with my good alcoholic friend, Amy, so we, you know, it's crazy, it's funny just reflecting on this story about all the things we did together, and we're both alcoholic. But it started with her. We each had one beer and had the time of our lives and laughed our heads off, and it was wonderful. We both found she was from a broken family. I was, you know, didn't, very shy, very sheltered, and we both had that beer, and we just knew that this was going to be the way for us to go because this was good stuff. Yeah. So I, the next time we drink, we're together again, and we're with, you know, we're in high school, and we think it's going to be a good idea to drink vodka and Gatorade out of a beer bong. So we both are very sick and very, and blackout. I mean, I don't remember anything. Those kids, you know, the other students drove us around. We were at all, I mean, we had our cheerleading uniforms on. We were at the Burger King, the football game, the doing Lord knows what. And they, you know, proceed to drop me off back at my house. And my family, like, the next day, my dad is just laughing his head off at me. And I'm so sick. And I'm like, so I need to go to another school. Like, this is really bad, right? I'm like, and I went to, like, a small Catholic private school. I'm like, oh, God. But I get through it because, you know, that wasn't going to stop me from drinking. So that just kind of started my, you know, I was a big blackout person. So that's kind of, I'm starting to find alcohol. I'm stealing it, you know, pouring from the liquor into mason jars, just mixing it. And, you know, my friends and I would drink that before football games, which is really funny. Like, years later, David's like, you know, your mom's an alcoholic. And I'm like, she's not. I'm like, she drinks like never. And he's like, well, all those liquor bottles were like water. I'm like, oh, so this might be a good time to let you know that that was me. So I know. So now that I have my sister is 12 and my dad, and his drinking is getting bad. Like he, like, one time, my mom, like, opened the bathroom door, and he was, like, passed out on the toilet. And I mean, it was just craziness, and he's driving us around. And so they start, I'm, like, wanting to run away now because it's bad. And then my mom's like, no, we're going to leave. So we leave, like, in the middle of the night, my sister and I and her. And it just started a pattern of moving out, moving back in, moving out, moving back in. And my mom wasn't, she's a strong woman, but there's, I don't know, she wouldn't, like, I would have to stick up for her to him. And then if something had to be, like, if he had to be called about something or 911 had to be called, like, I was the one that had to call them. So it's kind of just put in a more adult situation at that age maybe than I should have been. So eventually they get divorced. And he's still, you know, I still talk with him today and visit with him. And then my mom meets Mike. They don't get married, but we move in with him. And he lives, so there's Sarasota and there's Bradenton, and they're about 40 minutes apart. So we moved to Bradenton, but my sister and I are still going to Catholic school in Sarasota. All our friends are in Sarasota, but I drive now. So I'm driving me and my 4-year-old sister around, making her put her feet over the 12-pack in the back when I get pulled over. I mean, it's just a ridiculous situation. I don't know how, you know, I would drive us to school. I'd pick her up from school. I'd drive her back. And it just, I probably put her in a lot of really dangerous situations, and thank God nothing ever happened with that. But in that process, so I would go to Sarasota to go out with my friends and drive back. So when I'm 17, I get stopped at a roadblock and I get an open container. And the police officer tells me, he's like, I would have gave you a DUI if you were 18. And I'm like, okay, that's, you know, I'll take care of it. I won't drink and drive anymore. So then I turn 18 and like a month later I get a DUI. Just ridiculous. I got in a bad accident, didn't get hurt, but I totaled my car, and I was very remorseful and told the officer I was really, like, I had to tell him I was drunk. He's like, thank you for the newsflash. So I'm in community college, and my mom is having to take me to school because I can't drive. And I'm on parole, and I'm doing community service, and paying the guy because I hit another car. I had to pay him for what my insurance didn't cover. And I meet my husband, Chip. That's my husband today. So he probably just thought, what a gem. She doesn't drive. And so that, and I'm just continuing to drink and black out and make horrible decisions. Wherever I was, it was never enough. Whoever I was with, it was never enough. I wanted to go to the next party or have the next guy like me, or I just had this big hole that just could not be filled. And for a long time, I thought that was because I didn't know my real dad. I thought that was, you know, because I obviously, you know, didn't belong with my mom and those people. Like, there must be another person that I was like. So it just continues. We move to Orlando and go to college there, and I'm still just a mess. Drinking, I mean, I just could not. I could never, ever control my drinking, and I always knew that I did not drink like other people. I would never deny that I was an alcoholic. I knew I was alcoholic. I knew that I had a problem with drinking. And it's funny, God like tried to make it blatantly obvious, like this was not for me. So we graduate from college, we move to Atlanta we get married in 1997. We moved to Atlanta in 95. We were just gonna move here for a couple years and then move back to Sarasota. We wanted to come to, like, the big city, you know, for a little bit, but we never left because we love it here. And I'm really a binge drinker up to this point. Like, probably, like, 2 out of 10 times everything would be okay, but the other 8 times I would get really drunk. So then we start having children. And things are good with Chip and I. He's a good man, and, you know, I probably treated him not so great. But we have, my daughter, I have 3 kids. Ashley is 13, Kate is 8, and Henry is 5. And probably right after Ashley is born, I don't treat him very well. I'm really busy. I'm working, and I'm mad that I'm working. I'm resentful that my child's in daycare. And I'm just really busy now. So now he's just kind of like a pain in my ass, like just another thing I have to deal with. And that's horrible to say, but that really is how I treated him. I didn't treat him, you know, I'm the only one that could take care of my daughter. I'm the only one that could do it right. He wasn't capable of doing it. So then, because that went so well, we had another child, Kate. And that kind of started a big downhill. I did not handle that very well. Like, I was juggling everything okay, and then she came in the picture and everything, like, just, like, everything I was juggling fell. So we worked through that, and things are going pretty good. during this time, I leave the accounting firm I'm working at and open my own business. That gets kind of stressful because a friend of mine there and I leave and do it together, and they sue us. So that's just stressful, and I'm drinking a lot because now I really have an excuse to drink because I'm getting sued. So, you know. So then I get pregnant again. And when I get pregnant with Henry, I'm drinking. I'm a daily drinker now. And I remember just, like, thinking, I'm like, oh, God, thank God I'm pregnant because I don't have to drink anymore. Like, because I knew I wouldn't drink. Well, I mean, I say I wouldn't drink when I was pregnant. I would have a glass of wine now and then, but I wouldn't get drunk. Because I thought maybe that would make me stop drinking, is if I was pregnant and, you know, didn't drink for, like, 9 months, then maybe that would be it. So Henry is born, and it is just the beginning of a downward spiral for me. Now I really am overwhelmed by everything. Chip and I are not, he is checked out. He is just gone. I've got 3 kids and I'm drinking. It's amazing to me that I never got another DUI after I was 18. I do not know how that happened. I would hit things, like my minivan looked like it had been, there were dents all over it. So now Ashley's getting older now, and she's, like, figuring it out. And she's starting to be like, do you remember that, Mom? Do you remember, like, when you told me that? And there was one night she went with our neighbors to, like, a high school football game, and I was home with Kate and Henry, and I got so drunk. I don't know. I think I drank, like, 2 bottles of wine in, like, an hour or something crazy, and I'm, like, throwing up, and I pass out. So they come back from the football game, and they're, like, knocking on the door. I'm not answering. My neighbor knows I'm in there with Kate and Henry. I think Chip is at our friend's. They get a hold of him. They come home, and my neighbor comes in, and he's like, Ashley said you were probably in there drunk and passed out. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm really upset about it. And Chip's, like, not getting it because he's checked out, so he doesn't. I have a lot of bouts where I'll, like, get drunk, feel guilty the next day, say I'm going to quit drinking, and do the whole thing over and over again. So he's not really listening to me. He's like, yeah, whatever. So that really hurt when she said that. And then I just start noticing she's, like, making a lot of comments, like, I hate alcohol. We would drive by a liquor store. She's like, I hate that place. You know, just really. And then there was another time that I took the kids by myself to the beach, and we were staying at this condo on the beach, and this was when it was pretty bad, and I would sit outside the room, like, put them to bed and drink and smoke, because I loved to drink and smoke together. I mean, that was just the, and I passed out, like, sitting up outside that room, and she had to come get me, and I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, I mean, I'm constantly, like, dumping all the alcohol out, throwing the cigarettes away, going back out in the afternoon, wherever I had to go to get them. So I'm wasting a lot of money. I was like, and later I'd be like, that is stupid. Just, you know, you're going to smoke and drink later. Like, just keep it. But now I'm really trying. And I had quit drinking, like, when I was around, in my early 20s, I quit drinking for, like, a year on my own. And it wasn't good. It was a dry drunk. You know, and it was very difficult, too, because we came here, you know, in our early 20s, and we hung around, like, a big group of people that everybody moved here at the same time, and there was a lot of drinking in our life. Everything revolved around drinking. Everything. Everything we did had drinks. And it was very hard for me to picture a life without alcohol. I decided I was going to control my drinking. Like, this whole quitting drinking isn't going to really work for me right now. Like, I'm not capable of that. I would read any book. And I did not want to come to AA. I read How to Get Sober Without AA. How to Get Sober in 30 Days. How to Get Sober in 30 Minutes. So I would get drunk, read my books on how to get sober, and then proceed to tell my husband I think he might have a drinking problem too. And he's like, are you kidding? And I'm like, no, I'm not. So then there were 2 things I did that were just desperate and crazy. So the first one is, because I would look, God love the internet. You know, I would be like, how to get sober. And I mean, spend hours just reading and looking at it. So there's this stuff called Sobrexa. Okay? This is it. It's doctor approved. It's only $800. And you take these drops, and it's going to make you, and then, oh, but you take the drops while you go outside in sunlight and, like, meditate for a second, and then you take the drops, and then it controls your drinking. Of course it does. So I buy that, and it doesn't work. So then I'm like, keep looking, and I keep looking, and then I stumble across this website, A Mother's Way Out, and I'm like, this, I'm a mother, I need a way out, this is for me. And it's the same thing. I mean, I think it was like a couple $100, and it was, you read all this stuff, you're like hypnotizing yourself, which is not really a good idea, because you don't really know what's going to come up when you're hypnotized. That's not good. 10 different herbs to take at different, like, they're like, you need to go get the pill box that's like 7x7. I'm like, what the hell? But I did it. To take all these herbs, and then the big thing you had to get was this stuff called Topamax. This is for people that have seizures, but if you're an alcoholic or you're having trouble drinking, it, like, changes the brainwave path and makes you drink less. But you can't, like, so I ordered that from, like, Canada on the internet. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I do that for a while. I'm, like, trying it. It's kind of working. I'm cutting back a little, but it's what it's doing. The controlling the drinking for me is just making the drinking even a bigger focus for me. Because now I'm completely focused on when I can drink, how much I can drink, where can I buy the biggest wine glass, because that would be one drink. And it's just a disaster. So I decide, and I'm not feeling well at this point. I'm not looking well. I'm showing physical signs of addiction. I'm shaking, like, if it's, you know, I'd come home and the nanny was there and I just couldn't wait for her to get out the door so I could have a drink, because I was, like, shaky. My stomach was upset. Like, I knew my cheeks were all red, not looking well. And I had gone, my blood pressure, I had high blood pressure. So I go to get, like, a complete, I had never had, like, a complete physical. And I go to the doctor and it's this lady, Marvetta Scott. And she just looks at me, and I tell her my big mother's way out scheme, and I want her to give me a prescription for this Topamax. And she's like, you are desperate. You know you have to quit drinking. And then she tells me both her parents were in AA. She's like, AA is wonderful. You need to go to AA. I'm like, I don't want to go to AA. And then she's like, you need to go there like 3 or 4 times a week. I'm like, right. Okay. Because I have that kind of time. I don't know. I'm like, that is craziness. I was just like, nobody goes to AA. I'm like, what? So she was wonderful, though. She's like, well, until you quit drinking, you're going to have to come see me every 3 months, or I'm not going to give you your blood pressure medicine. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. So she was wonderful. She really was... When she's just like, you know you have to quit. You can do this controlled thing. This is, you have to quit. Like, you, and I was like, so after that with her, that just made it a lot not fun. You know, because I mean, it was just sad. It was pathetic. And then at the end there, I started using pills, which really was a slippery slope for me, because if one felt good, I don't know how many I'm going to take in a blackout. I just don't know. So then all this is happening, I'm having marital problems, and I get this call from the VA hospital, and it's my dad. It's a man asking if my real dad, Lee, can call me. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, is he dying, or is everything okay? And he's like, no, everything's okay. So I talk to him. I'm talking to him when I'm drunk, and because I was drunk every night anyway, so I don't remember a lot of the conversations. Chip and I are having some bad marital issues, and I'm you know, experiencing some pain like I've never felt, and the alcohol is really doing its job for me now. It's really helping me. But it's bad. I'm like sitting there, like our neighbors are there. I'm like going to pass out at the table sitting up, basically. I mean, I just could not handle alcohol. At all. So Christmas comes, and I had started writing down everything the next day, like what Ashley would say to me, what if I blacked out or not, writing so I could see it on black and white, like how bad it was. And I had never told Chip how bad it was. So Christmas Day, we go to our friends, and I'm like, I'm gonna have two glasses of wine. Or that's it. Like, I have to do something, and I get there, and, you know, two glasses of wine. So funny. That didn't happen. So we end up getting in a fight back on the way back in the car with the kids in the car. I, like, black out during the fight and come to, and I'm like, why are you yelling at me? Like, because God knows what I said to him. And while I'm drunk, I start taking these pieces of paper out of my purse and telling him how bad it is. And he's, like, shocked. Like, he's like, oh, my God, like, I didn't know it was this bad. So then the next day, I decide to come to AA. I'm like, nothing's working. I've tried, like, literally everything. I mean, if there is a book out there about not drinking, I read it. I tried Smart Recovery. I mean, whatever it was, I tried it. I tried to come the first day, and it was a lunch meeting, and I couldn't find it. So then when I found it, the meeting was almost over, so I'm like, okay, I'll just go first thing in the morning, which really worked out good, because I think that, you know, I came here, like Karen said, I mean, just so broken. I just didn't know what to do, and I remember Joanna talking, sharing that meeting, and I just held back tears that whole meeting, and, she said that, because I always thought I was a good person. Like, I was like, I literally thought that if I didn't drink, I'd be perfect. Like, I'd be the perfect wife, the perfect mom, the perfect friend. Like, it was just this drinking. But she said quitting drinking, she had gone, like, with her sponsor on a camp or to a cabin or something. They were driving, and she said something about now she could be the woman she wanted to be. And I'm like, I just want to be the woman that, like, I think I can be. But this is holding me back so much. And I don't know what happened that meeting. It was December 26th, and I left here and never wanted another drink again. It was a complete change. I don't know if it was telling Chip, like telling another person how bad it, like I was held, I could never tell him how bad it was before, because then he might make me really quit. You know, so I had to hide it. So now he knew, and Ashley, God bless her, I mean, that child, and children are wonderful because they will forgive you no matter what. So I leave here, and we're having a New Year's Eve party, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, like 6 days sober, and it didn't bother me. The funny part was my one friend, who I always drank with, that bitch had one glass of wine the whole night. I'm like, you were never drunk with me. You were always just like, you know, she just didn't. I thought everybody was drunk because I was drunk. People don't drink that much. Some people do. Some people do. But I just came here, and I could not get enough of AA. I wanted to come every day. I'm like, this is the best place ever, and I was just laughing. I couldn't wait to go back to Dr. Scott and tell her, you know, what had happened. And then this program, it just started a progression of my life completely changing. I mean, I love it when I see people that know me a long time and they're like, you are a different person now. There's, you know, so much peace. Not that things go wrong, but a big thing that happened was with my dad, Lee. So when I came in, I couldn't, when I stopped drinking, I, like, could not pick up the phone to call him. I told him I wasn't going to be able to talk to him for a while. I was getting this whole alcohol thing figured out. And he lives, like, far away, like, in South Dakota. So it was, like, we were just talking, and it kind of went very quick, like, zero to, like, I love you, but it was just, but I don't know him. I mean, I just don't. So about 2 years go by, and I don't call him. And I keep thinking I'm pausing because I'm like, maybe I'll see a sign if I'm supposed to call him. Like, I would go to pick up the phone. I'm like, so randomly my mom calls me. She's like, I need to tell you something that happened. His best friend is this plumber, and he was randomly at my mom's, where my mom lives in that condo. And he tells her that Lee's in Sarasota. He's really not doing good. you really thought our relationship would be better. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, well, I'll call him. I didn't, like, really have a reason to not call him. And I don't want him to, like, I don't want to cause him any, like, to drink. Because he was, when I was talking to him, I think he was sober. I'm not sure. I think one of the times he might have been drunk. But he had been in AA for, like, 10 years. And so I call him, and he's a mess. He's in Sarasota. He's left his family in South Dakota. He's drinking. You know, we go, my family and I go to Sarasota, and he comes out to the beach to meet us, and I'm, like, getting irritated with my mom. I'm like, I do not want you there. Like, don't come that day. He's going to come. I don't want Chip's family there. I don't want your family there. Oh, God. And he comes out, and he's worse than I could ever imagine. I mean, he looks like a homeless person. He's drinking. He's just, my kids are like, what the, who is this person? So I'm like, I'm calling my mom. I need my mom out here. I'm going to call my mom. And I call my mom, and she comes out there, and she makes it all okay. She's her little over-chatty self, and took care of it, just took care of it. And he left, and that night, Chip and I were sitting out at the beach, and I'm like, wow. And he's like, wow. He's like, your mom. I'm like, could you, I'm like, can you imagine if that man had been in and out of my life this whole time? What a disaster. And it really strengthened the relationship with my mom. Like, we both had closure that day. Because she's like, man, did I make the right decision? I'm like, man, you made the right decision. Like, woo! Okay, dodged a bullet there. But I knew, too, like, because this program taught me, I'm like, there's something, like, he's an alcoholic and he's in pain. Like, I need to be there for him. But after that, I didn't really talk to him too much. And so, because I'm like, he's just doing his alcoholic thing. He just wants to be at the beach and drink. Like, it's just so typical, right? It's just typical. So, and Chip's like, you're not going to, like, call him again to, like, come over, are you? I'm like, no, it's okay. So, but just that, so it's weird. So about a month ago, he called, and I didn't answer. And I called him back, and he was at a VA hospital in, like, Minnesota or something, getting sober again, sounded well. It was just such a relief because I just, you know, he sounded more like when I first talked to him than the more crazy. So I don't think there'll ever be like a super big relationship there, but because he's just far away and I just don't know him. So it's still weird. But that was huge. And that, you know, if I had been drinking when all that, I don't think that would have happened the way it was, the way it did. I didn't think I would have enough to talk about, but apparently I do, because it's, okay. But just some other, you know, my relationship with Chip just changing, just self-centered. I never knew how self-centered I was, and taking the focus off me all the time and putting it on to anybody else, whether it's an alcoholic or being nice to the person at the store. I make eye contact with people now. I never used to make eye contact with people. I keep my appointments and my meetings for work. Like, I just always felt such guilt and shame. I didn't like to interact with people because I thought they would see, you know, what I saw. In this program, I don't have fear anymore. Like, I have fear, like, today to get up here, like, nervousness, but not fear. There's not anything, I never feel like there's anything I can't do. I'm not hungover. I don't even know now when I look back how I even functioned. And it wasn't well. But I feel like now, this book tells us, you know, our goal here is to serve others. And I truly believe that. And I see it working in my life. I see it. Everything's better when I'm helping people or volunteering to do something or getting outside of myself. And all the other stuff I have to do, like work, is easier. I get all that stuff done a lot faster now. So I think I can do these other things. And I love step three, that's made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I go back to that every day. And when I first came in, I wasn't sure what to do with that. I'm like, am I supposed to be like a counselor? Like, am I supposed to quit my job as an accountant? Like, what am I supposed to do? And I think what I'm supposed to do is do my job and serve the people, my clients, the best way that I can. And that enables me to support my family and do these other things. Because it is amazing. I'll think something's going to take 2 hours and it takes 15 minutes. I'm like, you know, and then I do have the time. I found a great church that I'm going to now. And it's just amazing. It's they have a great middle school program. I've seen, you know, my daughter Ashley. It's middle school's a hard time, and they've helped her immensely. So I'm going to be a group leader for the middle schoolers. And just a lot of good messages at that church. It's funny because I never heard those messages at church. Maybe they were saying them and I just didn't hear them, but I hear a lot of AA in there. You know, and one thing, it was great, the pastor was talking about generosity, and I just thought this was really poignant. He's, you know, some of us are blessed with a lot of things, some of us not so much, but he said, just because it comes to you doesn't mean it's yours. And I was like, right, like, just because if maybe you do have a job where you can make more money than somebody else, but that doesn't mean that's all supposed to go to you. So just little things like that, and just a whole change, I mean, changing my whole outlook, that spiritual awakening. I mean, I'm here to tell you it can happen, and life is, there's such a peace now that, I mean, I'll be driving home from work and just, like, tears will come because I'm just so thankful for the way I feel that I have my kids. I mean, I went through all this. I remember thinking, like, I hope Chip and I get through this because I'm not, he still drinks and it's fine. He's not an alcoholic. And it doesn't bother me, you know, that he does, but you just, I came to the point where I knew I had to do this and whatever was lost because if I continue to drink, I would have nothing. But this program, all the people in here, I cannot, thank you enough. All of you have, the support is unbelievable. And if you're, that's what everybody tells you, just keep coming back, it will happen for you. If it can happen for me and all these other people in here, it can definitely happen for you. That's it. Thank you.